the wand, a puff of smoke, and the magic man pulls one out of the hat.
I still can't believe it happened.
Welcome to the Maroons Magic Podcast, following round five of the footy. Gather round, Zayden. We gathered.
Round five or four? Four. Round four, but round five, because of that stupid opening round.
Yeah, stupid opening round. Stupid.
Do you know what?
Round four.
Opening round, and I write in my column tomorrow. Do you know the difference between gather round and opening round? Every prick was involved in gather round. Everyone had a smile on their face, and everyone was included. I'm all for inclusion. Let the WA teams fly, I say. We're over there with our scarves and our bloody beanies on, had a ball, didn't we?
Yeah, we had a ball. I think you make a good point. And even it could be, and I'm not putting... Because AFL get on a winner and then they just try to overdo it, you know?
The talk's about...
Three gather outs.
They're off their head.
But they could have had that opening round still just be Sydney and Queensland. Don't call it gather round, call it opening round. And then you just maybe have some other games.
No.
Just let them play.
No, just let the boys play. Because we don't have stupid buys in rounds 2, 3, 4, and 6 or whatever it is.
Still two more of them to go. Might be a good thing this week with a few question marks over some injuries. But you got over there, Zave?
I got over there for about 16 hours in the end. But
So we were meant to go Thursday.
I was meant to go Thursday.
Gastro
with the boys. So we had gastro for a week, which was a pain in the ass. Because
well, you even meant to go the week before for Tomahawk's 350.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was all lined up, wasn't it?
Yeah, all going on.
Flights were there. Accommodation.
Everything.
Sister lives there.
But it couldn't have been cleaner. Flights were done, covered. Mum and dad had got a place 50 metres from the G. And I'm an MCC member. It was the cleanest transition
that
of all time.
Boarding house. Grew up with him.
It couldn't have been cleaner.
Used to knock the bats in together. 350.
But I'm surprised. Hawk would have had me run out as the mascot.
Anyway, so that's the first gastro struck. And then one went on to the other, and the second one copped on the Thursday. I'll get the message come through, because it didn't become a bit of a bucks party for us.
Yeah, but also I didn't text you like I was pulling out, because I know we spoke about being tired, and it's going to be a bit of an effort getting there. But I text you like 3 a.m. in the morning.
I always caught gastro myself just looking at that picture of your poor old Ted. But so then you were out, which is fine. So I wonder, you said, mate, I'll be there Friday.
Yeah.
I'll wake up Friday thinking, well, gee, I probably could just arrive Friday too after the Thursday. I said, mate, you do it. You said, I'll be there Saturday morning.
Oh.
I'll wake up Saturday morning thinking, well, gee, I could have just come Saturday morning too. You send you the message. Saturday. And then by that time, I wrote you. I think by then you even wrote yourself
I wrote myself off.
You said, boys, I'm out.
I'm done. I'm pushing shit uphill.
And then you pop up.
Just popped in, popped out.
12 hours in Adelaide.
And did not watch one kick of the football. Didn't see the ball move on the field once in that second game.
You got there for Geelong Bulldogs, the only game. You sat in this bloody Pepsi collective,
whatever.
That's where I knew you meant business, because all I've ever seen you drink is your beers, and you had this little Pepsi cocktail, which did a number on poor old Reno. And then you get there to gather around, watch one game, you miss the whole thing. Mate, let's go down and see the Tomahawk. So you grab me behind the ears. This bloke at the Tomahawk bar at the entrance would let every man and their dog in. Wouldn't let me in.
It was a check-in for tickets.
And I even had something on my wrist saying...
Yeah, fake ticket.
Post thing. Anyway, get in there. Poor old Tomahawk. You didn't know he had 2 points or 5 kicks.
No, I had no idea.
You could get around.
He could have kicked 10. He could have kicked 10.
And I kept saying, 351. Who cares about 350? Anyway, that was good fun.
It was good fun. But then we woke up with a bit of a heavy heart and heavy head on Sunday. But, Dad, you got to do it. You turn around, get the early flight, and get
home.
I had to go for dinner last night and have a few beers, which was good. It was with Eric McKenzie. Remember Eric McKenzie?
Yeah, he's a superstar.
Mate, star. Yeah. And people don't give him enough credit. He got struck down by injury. He won the best and fairest the year Pritter won the Brownlow.
I did. That's a good little fact.
Yeah.
He also used to shut down the Pav, and I was obviously a super Pav man. So
he's a decade earlier, Sam Taylor, in terms of... Now the defenders mark it or whatnot. But 10 years ago, defenders were never marking. But it was always like, get yourself in a good position, punch it away, and away you go.
Well, unlike you, Zave, who went to Adelaide and watched not one game, I finally watched some footy. And I've said this before, that I feel like I had too many balls in the air the first 3 weeks. I've been feeling a bit guilty sometimes of content. I pride myself on watching a lot of footy. People ask my thoughts on players, Newcomb, Amon, how they're looking. Yeah.
Jesus, Amon's second half was
massive. He had 21 touches, and we'll talk about him in a bit.
Seven and a half time.
But I finally could sit back after having, Bucks, wedding, honeymoons, all the first 3 weeks.
Moved to Sydney for a month.
Finally, I sat back, and I watched footy outside of probably that second half of the Geelong doggies with you.
Just on that, what happened to McRae's help? He was sub, you idiot. I had no idea he was even sub.
Not just that. Why were you interested in McRae after anyone who's followed us for 2 years knows that you're the biggest McRae hater of anyone? Why do you ask?
I bought him in the team.
Because somehow he's in your fantasy team. This is the man playing VFL the first 3 weeks.
I couldn't have been more right. But anyway, McRae made his way in.
Anyway, so I thought what we'll do, we've obviously got a bit to talk about more so about what we do this week, what typically happens coming into round five, not round four. Because I sat back and made a note to watch a lot of these games, I thought I'd make a few comments on some things I saw, players, positions, what to move. So the first game, Crows, Crows are bad.
Oh, I've said it 100 times. I think there's one, and it's a bit hard because we've got a mate who's involved at the Crows. They've got one All-Australian caliber player, one, and he's not playing at that level either, Jordan Dawson, but that's it.
But I used to love that about them. I used to love that they were all no-namers. Their leadership group came out. Who was it? Hinge, Fogarty, the other small Murphy.
Yeah.
And I was like, and everyone's banging. I said, well, that's part of their charm. But they're all these battlers who fight outside of their way. Now they're battlers who are underperforming. Well, it's like, what have you got?
Like the Texan kicked, 70 last year? And we love the Texan, but he'd be lucky to kick 40 probably. So where are they going to get those 30 goals from?
So you mentioned Dawson. Did you catch this one?
Yeah.
Now, what you mentioned, Dawson hasn't been at his best. He pushed forward late and looked good. Took some grabs.
We don't like that, though.
We don't like his fantasy, but they're going to have to start shifting something up.
So the move was to get Dawson out of the midfield. That's the move.
So why wouldn't, and this is now not fantasy, now it's footy, and who am I to really talk footy, but why don't they do to him what Neil Bullen does with Petrarca and what Lambert used to do with Dusty and say, yep, Dawson, you're in the middle. And then once the ball goes, you do whatever you want to do, roam forward, push back,
in the stage you had a niggle or something.
Yeah.
Because it was, if you're fighting to get to win that footy and he was sitting in the goal square.
So what I'm saying, it's a bit of a concern for any of these, because that's Cop and Flack, the Crows midfield. So whether it's a Crouch, whether it's a Laird, Dawson didn't look like, you wouldn't be stoked with him pushing up forward, as you said. Saligo was good in there. And unfortunately, I was getting excited. I then reminded myself that he missed out on forward status DPP at the end of last year, where I thought he should have got it. But if he was a forward option, I don't mind him, particularly in this world of forwards, which we'll talk about in a bit. Anyway, they're only the fancy rad ones. The non-fancy, like Dan Curtin, give the kid a run, don't you? I'll let him earn his keep. They reckon Billy Dowling's...
Is he banging around the twos?
He's banging around the twos. I reckon he can't really defend, but, well, mate, he's... Hasn't needed a defender. He's got that nice shoe.
Has the Adelaide... have their defenders been smashed?
Well, Milira come out. He's got to just take the non-defending role of Milira.
No, he's nowhere near that.
Anyway.
You got the WA. You have purple glasses, and a lot of people have the yellow and black glasses for the old WA boys.
You quickly drag me back about those. I don't worry about that. D's, Oliver. He's going to be cheap post-buyer. And then no one else really scores for the D's outside of the two guns, Petrarca and Gorn. Like we all thought no Oliver, whatever it's going to be, is it going to be Billing, Salem, Vines,
Oliver,
even
was
Rivers.
Dead quiet on the weekend.
All dead
early.
Quiet. Dead so quiet. Not much to talk about there, particularly with the buy coming up. But the watch on Oliver is this discounted premium when it comes in. The buy will do him good. Speaking of backs, that was the first game. So I think I watched, it's 7 of 7 at one point. The first 7 then jumped off that plane, licking the wounds. Second game, we go out to Norwood thinking, I'm talking up the ruse, telling all the boys, they're half a look here. Like, and
the boys had a look too.
But I'm saying, they're the ruse. We'll
That
was bad. That was shocking.
Yeah.
And I think I've always thought, these good young kids, they're good. Wardlaw, Sheezer.
They weren't good. They couldn't touch it after, especially after halftime. Wardlaw, McKercher, those guys couldn't. And they're only young, I get that, so don't be too critical. Maybe the skinny Norwood Oval too didn't help a great deal for them. I think they need to be a little bit less contacted, I suppose. Look, they're bad. They're bad.
You know who's not? So Sheezel, who's a star, and it could be D1. We all thought, I thought, it was Dacos.
Is it time to put the Sheezel in the midfield if you're coaching North Melbourne?
Maybe.
If you've got Greenwood and those guys still running around.
That's it. Well, forgetting
like Greenwood, you may as well just put the best players in the actual positions you're going to play. Look, if they win a flag in 5 years, she's a stack collector off half back.
He's not just he does good things with it.
No,
reads
I get that.
Well.
No,
I'm with you. I know.
But he can do that in the midfield.
I think they thought.
I'd rather his possessions in the front 2/3 than the back 2/3.
So with him, so this is a Papowski one, but he's scored over 120 in each of his first 4 weeks. Gary
he's
Abbott
well.
Jr. did it six times, first 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Jake Lloyd 1 year did it 5 times, and then Sheasel was the next best with 4. So no one.
Well, I was gonna say Sheasel
third
and Lloyd.
Best start to a.
I was gonna say Sheasel and Lloyd. Yeah, you know, Lloyd was always a nice player, but if Sydney had the stars in the midfield already,
whereas do you think Sheasel could be a bit of Connor Rosie if he that sort of areas?
We don't know. We don't see him run and carry with it. Like it's always lateral and.
Cherry was very good against the big O, particularly when big O.
He scored 60 or something at quarter time.
Yeah.
I thought
all these tackles.
I thought I had 240 coming.
Well, he didn't have the C on you. Oh, 240 was to Daniel.
Yeah.
You had cheese in yours too, yeah.
I don't have cheese on, no. I went no, Dacos. That's been another good move. Didn't want to miss out this year.
I don't think he's going to be a top two. So there's talk of people this week, Grundy, do you chuck move across to a Cherry? He's still going up in cash. But I think if you're going to move now, you might as well go one of those top two is a Marshall. We'll speak about the players on the buy in a bit. But
so who's on the buy? Who's on the buy this week?
Swannies and Collingwood.
Right.
Charlie Comden caught the eye. I kept having to look. I need to get a footy budget to find out who it was who was taking these. I thought it might have been that Will Dawson from... I don't know, who's this big... He kept clunking him.
He got a good rig on him.
107, playing key back. He's a forward, 387Ks, just this awkwardish price around that 40
200 centimetres, a big fella.
Yeah, taking some kick-ins. In a year where we can't find forwards, this week we're getting rid of two of the duds, being you finally your week to get rid of James Jordan, but whether people still help Billings and other ones... Is that the option you can go to? At the end of the day, he's still a key back, even though he scored well, and typically key back scores in the 60s. So if he's priced those 40-odd, it's not worthwhile there. But one to keep a little watch on. LDU, people have him. I think he scraped to a 90. I've told you before, and you made a good rebuttal. So my view is he needs to get hunting the footy. He just sort of floats around the pack. Mm. Your view is I think he's just... Of course, he's a bit disengaged after being having them on the back for the last 5 years.
He's the only one that...
He's now like, here we go.
Who'd they play on the weekend? Brisbane. Do you reckon Chris Fagan does too much research? Or not research, clearly he does, but you reckon one of the two or three points are LDU in the midfield, clamp, stop,
that's all you have
bash,
to say, isn't it?
Block, like...
Yes, he cops attention each week, which is why I never didn't really like him as a starting pick, but I'd love him
There's no second option.
But I'd love him to go to Lachie Neale and sort of, you know...
Well, Lachie Neale was taken out by Powell in the end after a strong start.
Yeah, so Powell, 15 tackles, is it?
Do you look 15 tackles?
If you look at his stat line then, if you're the coach and they got smashed and smashed in the midfield, and you see Powell had, 14 possessions from a midfield role, are we concerned that he could be kicked out there this week or 15 tackles?
No, it was a strong tag on Lachie Neale by the end, and that's why...
And Clarko would say, 15 tackles, you beauty.
And that's why they took off Lachie Neale in the end. Lachie Neale was off his head early. What do you have, 14 in the first quarter, 9 in the second. He was 23 touches at halftime.
Yeah.
And then got the clamps put on him, and I reckon Fags... Lachie Neale had a sore ankle or whatever, but I reckon they waved the white flag.
Yeah.
No point him fighting through this. Powers on top. Yeah.
Well, that's good then. Good for Powell, because I was a bit concerned. 14.
Zero concern.
And he's not going to get 15 tackles each week because that little... No, but someone called it the biscuit. Did you see the Norwood from aerial view?
Yeah, no.
Dead straight.
Oh, no, it's straight. It's an arrow.
McKercher moved inside.
I think I got a fine at that game.
At Norwood?
At that ground.
Playing?
Yeah.
What, playing a...
AFL game there. Pre-season.
Okay.
Might have said something to someone in the crowd.
Ooh.
Copped a little fine.
McKercher moving inside obviously didn't. You said they should be moving Sheasel in there and let McKercher have the Sheasel role. McKercher was thrown in with the Wolves and didn't really. It's funny, one week, long week in footy, when we're all thinking, gee, West Coast could have got McKercher, what other, and left Harley Reid. But yeah, didn't help his score. But what it should do is help Fisher, which it didn't do. But at least it means Fisher's now the second prong. And I think Fisher came home strongish in the second, last quarter.
He had 6 at half time, ended with 22. So he had 16 after half time, whatever it was.
Yeah. Watch on Fish, particularly if they keep McKercher inside. I'm not panicking too much about his low score. I'm waiting for his.
Knowing Clarko at all, I feel it's either Sheasel or McKercher in there. You can't have all this talent coming off halfback. It's not the way he wants to design the footy team.
Yeah. Lions, not a heap to talk about. They never haven't been that relevant. I think Neil got subbed off just shows where they're at in terms of age and And demographic. Subbed off. He's going to be cheap.
Subbed off with 27 touches.
Yeah, he's going to be cheap. So maybe a watch, but even still. The one who's of relevance, or Dunkley and Hugh were good. I don't mind Dunk still. But the
you,
one
you
of
say Zorko?
Of relevance is Zorko.
Yeah.
And he's been in relevance for 3 weeks, and each time I keep knocking it back. But when you look down at the top highest averaging forwards, and you see there that there might even be a Harry Mackay up there, a power Comden at the moment still up there in terms of how it's averaging forwards. And then you've got a Zorko. It's like, well, okay, well, this guy is going to be, who we got? We've got Grime Myers as the eighth highest ranked forward. Hogan, Danaher, Mitch Georgiades, I know he played one game. Jezza Cameron, Max King. Like, these are the crop we're dealing with. So, yes, he's going to get injured, old Zane Dorko, as Jared Healy likes to call him.
Is that what he calls him?
I think once he did a slip at the target, went to Zane Dorko.
I don't mind Zane Dorko.
I like it too. Yeah. I now have to take note, and I'll probably put my hand up for those who asked the question last week and maybe the week before and said he's been subbed out 4 times in the last 2 years and at 35 years old, showing that they just subbed out Lachie Neal even though he wasn't injured, just shows that they're not there just for him to rack up touches. They're there to win a flag and they're going to do what's best for them. But you can't not take note that he's going to be a top six forward now, isn't he? So if you can take that risk with the thing, I'd make sure I've got Flanders and Heaney first because those two will score in line or more than him without that risk of injury for my liking. Who else have we got did I watch on the weekend? Starts getting to when Xavier arrived and I lost a bit of my...
brain cells.
Port Adelaide, Connor Rozee. Tell you what, that was the most impressive individual.
What do you have, 3 and 20 at half time?
But even the way he had that 20, the speed through the ball. So I don't try and speak like Kingy here, but he was brilliant.
I've compared him to when you see those at the Olympics, the Winter Olympics, when they go down the hill on the skis.
Yeah.
That's him, through traffic.
I didn't think he had, because you've always said, who's going to be the best? I always say the same together with Butters. And I always said Butters is by far the best. And you've always said hey, Rosie's the one. So the question has come, is this going to be bad for Butters? Because if Rosie is now going to be this 35 possession beast and Horn Francis pops up, it's actually great for Butters because any risk of him getting the attention of the tag, it's all gone to Rosie now after watch. And what was Essendon doing after halftime not going and tagging him?
But also Butters scored 100 something.
Yeah, still put himself
at
108.
And his first quarter was one kick and seven handballs.
So his time on ground, I felt like he kept on running to the bench too. He's going to pop soon, Connor Rosie. Butters. Zach Butters, I feel, yeah, like he did last
90
year.
90 minutes, so 75% game time.
Horn, it was great, mid only, a bit like the Saligo one where if they had the forward status or if they were shaped for forward, this is the week you get them because they're not going to be cheaper now than they were again. They're just a higher risk play for this time of the year. But then again, if you can't get up to a premium, if you just want to run a little 2 or 3 week cash gen, I'm probably Saligo over the Hornet, but yeah, just a real tough price point, which I don't normally deal with this time of the year. Houston, another 70, where the 150, when's it coming? Hopefully comes soon.
Not coming.
Don's, positive. Merritt was, he's turned around his whole, even though how bad they were, and he's a captain, but no one can say he doesn't put his head in the hole with that anymore, tackles hard, has a crack.
Yeah, but I also think, when people didn't say that, his role...
He was still doing it.
Yeah, he was doing it. But his role wasn't... like they were squeezing Dylan Sheil and those guys in that midfield as well. Yeah. Parrish went for 50 metres gained. 50.
Okay, we'll talk about him in a second. So Ben... non-fantasy, but Ben McKay was actually very good too.
He's a good little reader of the footy.
Fantasy-wise, Martin... if we're talking Sheasel Dacos, why can't it be Martin being the third best defender this year when he gets that DPP if he's going to be in that role? So still time to jump on... him, Parrish, geez. It's funny this preseason, like some teams of the preseason and some teams which I was talking about getting, luckily he got this injury, were Parrish in there.
I drafted
was
him.
Was a Witherden in there? Was a, oh, it's about the Buderick who was in a lot of teams. Like we always complained about, oh gee, we could have had this good player at that team. We did. 54 metres gained. What was Connor Rosie's?
54.
For a 60.
That's you could kick one off your shin 54 metres.
I'm waiting for him to bottom out in price, but you reckon he's
going to... he looked sore. He had the socks up, and I know he always... he looked different shape. He looked like he's hobbling a little bit.
I don't know. I don't want anything to do with... they're going to have to change something up in there, aren't they? They have to.
He won't go anywhere.
But for now, I'm not touching any of these Dons, and even...
Merritt, you would.
Poor old Merritt, but what more can he do? Like, is he
Merritt, you would. He scored 135 and he's still good. Just he's good. Cruising.
He's a gun.
Yeah, he's a gun.
West Coast, Duggo had that big one, which we kind of thought he could have had this year without Hearn. But I went to that game and I know it was harder to view that. I actually did notice him. They get down there, he had the 35.
What do you have? 30. Had 30.
30 touches.
Went for 700 metres gained. There you go.
Who did?
Duggo. No, he's a good player. He took six kick-ins, so you cut that down a fraction. But now Duggo will find the footy. Like, I think he now that's his role. Ball's down there a bit. He's a nifty player. You're sort of banking on West Coast getting piped a bit though by ball being down there.
Elio very good. Like, he's almost looking back to peak Elio.
How was his brother in Gather Round?
He was actually a
good performer.
Yeah. He behaved well.
He good man, Yak.
Good on the chat.
He good man, Yak.
He, a proud brother. So his mum messaged through. I think Elliot had 18 touches at halftime.
That's a very possibility.
And then at halftime, after that, Rowbottom went to him.
Yeah, 18, yeah.
And genuinely, because we were sitting not far behind the bench, and Yoey comes on the ground, and Robon's off the ground, and Yoey's yelling out, "Come on, Roe, he's getting away from you." And he, like, turned around and had a little laugh. Like, it was a knowing that he was a genuine run, which is why he slowed. Anyway, Wendy Yo messaged Corey saying, "Can you tell your brother to pull his figure out?" He's just had 18 in the first half. It'd be quiet.
Hasn't played footy for 2 years. He's dragging his ass around in a team that gets pumped.
So, I know it's easier, and we'll go back to learnings at the end of the year where those who have been there before, it's easier to jump on them when they're discounted because you know they've got that potential, unlike a James Jordan, which you like to remind me he's never done it before. But you just have to look at the highest priced or price moved players for the season so far. And you're probably sitting there thinking, oh, why did I start a James Jordan or why did I start a Fisher? And well, Roberts is number one as the rookie and MC. But then you've got Heaney up there, not far below Bonner, not far below Cherry, Power. Max Gawn's in the top 15 for 11th, I think he's for most increases for price. Like, these mid prices, when they perform in line with the top dogs and they can make as much cash as a rookie, that's why they're knockout
picks. But James Jordan was never going to do that.
Well, that was the hope.
Hope from who?
I had a little bit of hope.
You did have hope.
He still made 120K. This is a week to get rid of. We'll talk about Swans in a bit. But
I can't get rid of him.
What do you mean you can't get rid of him?
I've got too many players I've got to get rid of. I've got two subs playing.
Gov did it again. And then Harley. Mate, Harley was good. Harley was good.
And broke seven tackles or something.
The record is eight.
Eight. Dusty in a grand final.
It is second. He did, seventh game. I reckon we'll now see his floor being a 65 points. He got 78 on the weekend. Still didn't, rack him up.
I'd go 60.
But I think you can start with Conway. Because the week before, he's had a few 40s, I think, this year.
No, but I thought he would have that, though.
He's starting to get a bit... Must be getting a bit more game fit.
I mean, Richmond's... Just quickly, West Coast, are they a chance this week?
If they're not a chance this week, it's a market.
Yeah.
We're not punters, but...
340.
Yeah, I thought it'd be closer.
So do I.
Well, mind you, Richmond were good yesterday, but yes.
A quarter.
Gould and post by target. Like, again, I didn't really notice him as being a Goulden performance. He popped out that one.
Second half, what do you have? He had a big quarter. He had a 36 in the third quarter.
So
and that's 47, so he started the game with a 47.
Post by will be a nice one to get into. Heaney can win the Brownlow, can't he? He got.
Did you back him for the Brownlow last year? You've always been around Heaney for stuff. I have a feeling you did.
Narcos 2 years ago.
But 2 years ago,
I could dig up the bet slip and do a bit of cropping.
Yeah, I thought you did.
2 years ago, 250. Grundy looks sore. So we're behind the bench. He was hobbling every time he came off. So while you can sit there and think, okay, he's done his role, made a little bit of money, hasn't been the knockout pick, can we now go up to a Marshall who now has bunched up a massive score, and English is down on price? I think he's going to be better the next few weeks, and I'd rather wait to get, if I was a Grundy, the Marsh English post, the Marsh English mid-season. I think he's going to come back better, but yeah, he looked very sore.
I'm sticking fat with my theories on Grundy.
Yeah.
About 100, 95 to 100. It's still a good player, but not anywhere near the calibre of the others.
Adams, just a watch. He was pure forward before sub, but keep a watch because how bad these forwards are looking. We'll go through who I think the top six will be in a bit.
Are we going to do another potty on Friday?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Oh, so we haven't mentioned that. So we'll do it. But we're back. So we're back on deck. Monday podcast. I'm now here. I'm not going away. I'm back to head down, watching some football games.
Cold slaws on the way.
We can't go anywhere. We're doing our best. So we'll even do a bonus quickfire Q&A Friday as a bit of a we're back on deck. Robert, so the question is, he's on his bye. He's made the most cash out of any play. He's even typically, obviously, here the round zero game. So while we're only at round five or coming into round five, he's had five price movements in his price, which is typically when you get a rookie and, as I say, we're kind of in upgrade season. This is where you can jump off. And while he's got more cash to make, no question, I think he's got a break even in the 30s and his lowest score this year is, I think, 68. So,
yeah, 68 against Collingwood.
He's going to get DPP soon. You could. We were worried about whether it's a Massimo in the defence at D6. Is it? You can move him to be D6 and play a nice role because he can also show you can get these 90s. But I wouldn't be against jumping off if it means you can then land a Bontempelli or a Andy Brave, one of these discounted top-end keeper premiums, or go through past trades in the past. And that's where this can kind of become, or start to become, the start of upgrade season. The only thing is we've got a defender rookie who is a bit of a premium after his 100 on the weekend, Closey, who you're going to want to get up to, and you might not be able to have that then extra cash on top to make that big move. But I'm not against jumping off someone like a Roberts if it means getting an absolute weapon. Jordan, time to go. Finally, Zave, you've been waiting for this, and you can't get rid of him.
I can't get rid of him.
Offside wing he played, he moved inside for that last quarter. He got, I think he got 34 points in the last quarter with a few tackles. But as I said, 112K he made, didn't deliver.
But the fear is too, who's coming back?
Well, they'll come back, won't they?
Yeah.
He might get squeezed out of the team. Spent the start every bench on the quarter on the bench, which is never a good sign. Frio. Brayshaw, big 148. So he's bottomed out, but I'm still... The question marks still remain, which is Fife was good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He actually caught a bit of this one.
Caught that, about a half. A bit less than a half.
Fife was good. Sarong had a down one. Hewitt did a bit of what he does, and it was always going to come. Young was good again.
I thought they were going to go to Young.
Young was good again. So while Brayshaw was best when he was the number one man, and then when Strong came as a 1-2 punch, now there's four of them. There's never a risk of a tag, which is good. There's always an opportunity for him to bob up and get these little cheap touches, which he loves to get.
Bad read by me, because Cripper and Hayden Young, I saw them standing next to each other.
Perfect matchup.
They were size to size pretty good. And then, of course, that left Sarong to be watched by Hewitt. It was just a bad read.
Yeah. So, Brayshaw is discounted and he's now bottomed out in price for that 148 in his next four price moves after from this week. I'd rather go to the Bontempelli if you had that much cash up your sleeve or that much funds, but still one to watch. Sharp, bigger 106, which is good. I remember come two price movements, people thought it's too late. He's already too expensive when he almost touched that $300,000 price tag. He was the highest price mover last week. So that's why you can always jump on these rookies a little bit too late.
Well, he's replaced the Akers, Brad Hill, Liam Henry role of just staying out on that wing. A couple of times he was tiptoeing along the boundary line. That's how far out he was.
He wouldn't have done well at Norwood, would he?
No, he would have been in the third row, but he was good. He was very good.
Clark has been a sneaky good pick, actually, without having a smash score yet. So if Darcy flew to Adelaide this week, yesterday, I think, Sean Darcy.
Yeah.
So this is round five. Who gets the points?
No, so is this the bet?
This is Daniels v. Morris.
So on the Hardball Gets podcast, I took Tom Morris and said round six.
Did Tom Morris say six? I thought Tom Morris said eight.
Six to eight. Ryan came in at 3-4.
It's in the middle.
So I gave him four. I have six. And Nick Rinn gets a box of beer off both of us. It lands in the middle. Five.
That's if he's back. Even the report today said he did some jogging and goal kicking. Yeah. You know, like...
Poor bit of ruck work too late in that game, though. We hailed, and I said it to you.
Someone did say it was bad.
I said straight away to you on the day.
Yeah, we were all talking about umpires and free kicks, and you said, well, what was LJ doing?
What was he hitting it there for?
No
idea. Weird. But anyway, different topic. That ball should be. What did I ask LJ?
Oh, yeah. No,
what do I say? Right. Run it down your chest, son. Run it down your chest.
So if Darcy's back, what do you do with Jackson? He's been a good little starter. Had some nice games. What do you do? if he has to push back to play that forward role, he's made, what, 50K, been a top six forward.
I think he's still keeping him this week.
I still think he's going to be a top six forward, really.
Yeah, right.
Looking at the crop we've got. So I think you do keep him. Sarong down, one we mentioned. It's always going to happen. That's why, unless it's luxury trading, that's when I love, that's why I'll pay up any dollar. There's certain thresholds, but there's always a chance that the top price, it's hard to get 35 touches each week. Tom Green, like it's.
Oh, it is hard.
Yeah. It'd be
easier for a Sarong to get 35 than a Josh Kelly.
Yes. But I'd rather get, that's why I just like the discounted ones now, and they're going to come down in price. A Sarong will now slowly come down in price to be affordable, hopefully, when it comes to that luxury trade. Carlton, not me to talk about, except for Williams, Zach Williams.
When's Sam Walsh due?
I think he's ahead of schedule, they're saying. Maybe this or next. Someone you'll jump in the first game, I reckon.
I'll dive straight into. And he'll probably be captain too.
All right, a couple more games. Last game, which we didn't watch a heap of, but I was amazed. Libba. No comment on this. Libba, 19 clearances. I was getting around Matty Rao when he got the 20 in round one?
Yeah.
19, Libba. I still don't love him in fantasy. I've mentioned before.
He's been outstanding. What's your average the last 2 years of fantasy?
He averaged 100 for the first time last year. His whole career has an average 100.
Over 100 or 100 on the knocker?
100 on the knocker.
Right.
And then this year is a bit more than that.
Yeah.
Even though he got subbed out last week by
our
good friend.
Yeah.
Who else keeps getting it done?
Sal?
Adam Treloar. Oh, and I might put him with Zorko and I would say, look, well, maybe the difference. Zorko I will do because of the position. For some reason, Treloar, I don't know what he ever did
what's
to me.
Treloar?
I liked him.
Mate, when he used to rack and stack at Collingwood. Yeah, I know.
Well, even Dog.
You get group chat too, the armchair experts. I've won out defending the man there for.
What's he done wrong?
You guys go after him, and I keep it defending. I think he's a good player. A good player.
Had 35, 10 tackles, bottom out in price. Look at last year. I reckon he started the year 390s, then became the highest scoring player in the comp. Slowish start this year. Who's to say he's not just going to go on a nice little run now? So if you can get up to him, that's you little beauty landing the Bont.
Now
Geelong, this is again not fancy. We went in there, scratching our heads a little bit because we didn't quite know what to say or what to do. How's Bont played a Bont game? Libba had 19 clearances and Treloar went Treloar. And look at the top possession winners for Geelong.
Oh, yeah. Brian Morris, Jezza Cameron had 6 shots at goal and had 27. And poor old Hook couldn't introduce himself to the leather. I got no idea how that's worked. But I think it's probably game styles.
Yeah.
Geelong had more inside 50s.
So apparently. The other one I never give enough credit to is Chris Scott.
I think I'm in that camp for sure too.
Yeah.
Mate, they're 4-0. You owe me a box of beer too for that.
Yeah.
They're top.
Jeez, I'm getting off.
They're top 12. They're top 12, no dramas.
I've lost a few, but they're top 2.
Are they close? Are they going to be closer to finishing 8th or winning the flag, you reckon?
Oh, I thought you were going to say closer to 12th or winning the flag. I can't. I think 8th still.
Okay.
The flip of the coin for the rookies last week, the two Harveys, there was a Harvey Gallagher from Dogs, Harvey Thomas from Giants.
Yeah.
The obviously winner now, hindsight, was the Dogs one.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't have thought, when you look at that squad of 23, that their starting sub would be the 29-year-old All-Australian McRae, and the getting subbed off was a 27. Caleb Daniels, 27.
He needs to go elsewhere.
That's a kid. Well, he made that decision early in the. Why didn't they trade him?
Yeah. Well, I said.
Full currency even last year, they would have.
So, if McRae had played on the weekend, he clearly would have had 30 touches. They all had 30 touches.
It doesn't matter. They don't need 30 touches, do they?
Well, who knows what they need?
I reckon they could do with Caleb Daniels' foot skills.
I agree. I looked at a little interest I had the next morning, not completely forgetting. Well, and the only leg that missed was Caleb Daniel, who apparently got subbed off.
Apparently. So, like, that's just where you tip, like, in fantasy, that decision. Like, you can't budget on the Dogs not subbing out one and then the, you know, that's just where it comes to luck. And again, it's also where I don't love the double downgrade, even though this week might be a double downgrade week. But there were teams who sort of did a Gallagher and a Thomas and traded out a Harley Reid and a Wilson who scored a 70. And what you find, particularly this time of year, that the new rookies coming in aren't much better than the ones going out, and you're keeping your team still, which is why I'd rather make your team better, get some form of upgrade. different this week because there is a rookie which I don't think anyone wants to miss, and I don't think anyone will miss the guy from the Suns. A couple more games from the Sunday. So Flanders moved back to halfback flank. Surprised me. The role we all wanted, who was it last year? Constable to do.
Yeah.
Then Sexton we thought was going to do it.
Mate, Flanders is a mover and shaker.
But he, yeah, and quotes come out pretty good. So you it's probably more safety for his fancy scoring because it doesn't mean he was always the fourth banana CBAs for Suns.
Oh, I think it's great.
There's always a risk of getting pushed out.
Wait until he gets the confidence where the old appendage is swinging and he runs down and just starts plucking those kick-ins. And
yeah, he didn't take a kick-in.
That's a killer, is Lukosius going back.
Yeah, he's one to watch too.
Will Power, for example, who I have in my 30 draft side, Lukosius just wanders down, and I love Lukosius as a player. But I just reckon, surely you're catering for everyone else bar him. Like, put him back to... Didn't we finally realise he was playing good footy as a forward?
Yeah, yeah. And they had those people down there anyway.
Being so now Flanders is there. Now you got Power there. Do you need Lukosius there?
Probably not, but it looks like he's there. Well, it was basically Sexton and Buderick were there the week before. Now that's replaced with Lukosius and Flanders. But, yeah, so bad for Power. No question about that. I don't think many people have Power in there, mind you, for that early buy. Thought it would be good for Took because Flanders being out, but Took's CBA's actually dropped because the other debutant, Will Graham, I think his name was, who got a fair bit of time in the midfield, scored a good 63. His numbers aren't jumping off the page in the juniors, but that's why I say could it be a double downgrade week and just get a bit of cash down and bank that cash because those who with cash might be able to do a trade like a Howes down to, seen a few of them, Howes down to Closey, and then the money there gets a Jordan up to a Flanders, and that's all of a sudden you're in upgrade season because you're going from a rookie in a mid-price to a rookie in a premium, and then from next week you'll just start seeing these roll on. So that's the ideal trade.
He's 6'1", but he only played about 70% game time and had one handball in the last quarter.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, if he put out a quarter that he had been having, the other quarters, he's up around 85 sort of thing. Anyway.
Closey, yeah. So that's just the one trade sorted for the week. So we'll just have to work out what our second trade is.
You're missing the big one, though.
What?
Bloody Mac Daddy.
Who's Mac Daddy?
Mac Andrews.
He was good, eh?
Mac Andrew, I should say, not Andrews. Mac Andrew.
He was good.
Outstanding. Mm. Unbelievable.
Good to watch. Gave away the free kick, and then straight after that, he plucked up and took the intercept.
Mate, he was outstanding.
Just last one on closer. Your mate Mickey Barlow was at Werribee last year, and all you kept talking about this was his kid Manor.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still waiting. I think what happened.
He was stiff at Geelong to get dropped. Stiff. 2-goal assists and 2 points. He kicks 2 goals.
I'd love him to have a run, yeah.
Manor played against. Got subbed off, I think, against Port.
He was pretty good.
He was good, good early. Good early. Like, and then he. Couple of goal assists and then got dropped. And I thought he was stiff. But anyway,
this Closey came from Werribee as well. And he won the VFL, whatever that award is, which there's now three not names the on there. Have you
Liston,
said,
the
if you win Liston, no, not the Liston, the most promising under 22 VFL player.
Oh, leave me out of that.
So if you win a Liston. And if you win a Brownlow, that's the two, used to be called like the Murray McGregor medal or whatever.
You get added to it.
And now Sam Mitchell's won it too. He's now won a Liston and a Brownlow. So now it's three. It's like a McQuarrie, Murray, Mitchell medal.
Right.
Anyway.
Coincidence they all start with M.
I think I've just made up the first two
names. Nicely.
He won one. And we're talking, Mickey Barlow's won one. Luke Ryan from Freo's won one. It's not bad names.
Look, and there's a trend.
Kane Lambert won one.
What's the trend?
What is the trend?
Mature age draftees.
Well, yeah. Well, you might see less of the good ones now because you imagine they pluck them in this mid-season draft.
I still reckon you're going to see them.
Even mid-season drafts, if they're any good, they just pluck them.
I like the mature age draftees.
Yes.
The ones who get picked in the actual draft as mature. Don't worry about that, the mid-season stuff.
Yeah. So he's not like he's a kid who's still learning his craft. He can play footy and to come out, and I think he was an intercept defender for Werribee, played on the wing and kicked goals. Man, he was everywhere, so... Makes one decision easy for us all this week by having a downgrade to him, and whether it's a house down to him and bank that cash, whether it's a Massimo down to him to get that cash to then be able to put on someone else's head, and if that can then get you the Flanders move from a Jordan, if you need that a bit of extra, like it should give you enough leeway to do some hunting. Not much to talk about from the Giants, Green as per Sarong. Saints, Marshall was massive. Ross did flag the Campbell thing again, but he's mentioned it all because he came off pretty exhausted, Marshall. But he mentioned all year last year that Campbell might get a run, give Marshall a rest, but they play their best when Marshall's up.
You can't.
Bottom out in price, that's the option, I think, personally, because I think English has some more to drop. Those were the Grundy who wanted to jump off, but I think a lot actually did jump off Grundy to Cherry in those early rounds anyway. Steele's been a knockout pick, which is great. Wanganeen Malira was a bit of nervousness with Sinclair's first game back and he went down, but no going down here with Sinclair in there.
Well, Wang Daddy started slow. And I was watching very closely for podcast reasons. Started so slow and was like not really near. I think what about three handballs? What do you have earlier? Like, I had a handball and then didn't take a kick in or something. I was like, shit, he's not putting himself to get the easy ones. Then they went around the arc and he had six marks before quarter
bang,
time.
Bang, bang.
And mate, he had 45 in the first quarter after a slow ten minutes or something. Yeah,
Sinclair's bottomed out in price. I think he looked pretty good towards the end.
I've got him in my team.
When did he sneak in yours?
Two weeks.
He just come back?
2 weeks ago.
What are you on his first game back? Must have been. Oh, you love your first up. No trial.
Yeah.
Give it a trial. Yeah,
easy to find him with a long sleeve jumper on too.
Yeah, especially with the old candy man strip too.
Yeah.
Long sleeve candy.
Yeah, it's nice.
Seb Ross, someone actually sent me an email about him with Windy out and Crouch out, and he's not a bad shout, but with Windy coming back, I personally believe there's a bit too much risk there with your Seb Ross. Tigers obviously have a buy soon, not many relevant. Buy this week? No.
Who?
Tigers. Next week. Toronto, Baker, Bolton, Short.
No, it's a big game this week, mate.
Oh, yeah, West Coast. Yeah. The Buddle.
Richmond aren't next week either.
Yeah, they must have a bye.
Sorry, not this week. They've got Melbourne with Melbourne next week.
Toronto, Baker, Bolton, Short are names to keep on the radar.
Yeah, just quickly, and this is footy. I know people want fantasy, but this is also footy chat.
They like your footy.
Jacob Hopper out, Bolter out, Lynch out. There's another one in there. Grimes didn't play. Did anything come of that tackle Vossen did on Butler yesterday?
Don't know. You're still thinking West Coast?
Well, I'm not because I'm on the winless season. But this is as good a chance as I'll get. As good a chance as they will get is a wounded Richmond.
Pies on the bias are not much to discuss. Jordan Agoe post-buy is cheap. Came off a big one, but we've seen now they play. They won a flag with him being a forward or centre player.
That's who they need to tag. Every club, if you're going to tag, tag to Goey. Don't tag Dacos.
Well, they dropped the tag Dacos in the second half and they started firing up a little bit. So,
well, they did fire up, and Dacos fired up in the third quarter.
Yeah, but didn't touch in the last.
But then went dead in the last. He had two touches.
So hindsight, the right call was not to start, but he'll fire up post-buy for those who already have him. But yeah, obviously a target for those who don't. Hawks, yeah, Amon, you mentioned his second half. So he had, I think, seven possessions first half, 21 second half. Got his highest score for the year.
He scored 79 points in the second half. But last week he scored 65 off the top of my head in the first half. And then ended
didn't
with
touch in the last quarter or something.
Two or 77 or something. But
when it got wet in the second
half. If he had combined the first half and the second half, it would have been 150. Well,
that's what he was doing last year, and that's what we thought he might do this year. It just, and you said it, when they were going slow and he still wasn't making, wasn't scoring, when Hawks were just kick mark, and you said they need to get the ball in his hand so he can actually
go.
So maybe that might be a little directive. So one to keep a little watch on him.
There was one where he got stitched up. The Hawks, that was a good, did you watch it?
75%.
I went home and watched it late on record. Didn't realise we had a shot to win it from McDonald, but Amon, he's kicking through the corridor. Again, not a fancy thing, but Weddle at one stage might have had a little think about what was coming. Missed it, goal down the other end. I think it might have been off the back. Maybe Dacos got one or something. But, mate, when Amon goes through the middle, yeah, Clarko used to call it 80-20. No football in the history of the game hits 100% of their targets when they're dangerous kicks. But if you think you can hit it 80% of the time, go it as hard as you can. And that's why when you see him butcher it occasionally, you go, well, that's the 20% stiff.
Yeah.
Move on. Because the 80 when Amon gets it is a killer for Hawthorn.
So might be, well, all right, he could be discounted then and one to watch. I know people finally jumped off last week. He'll get the DPP, become a defender, and we'll hopefully see him.
When do they kick in?
Typically, it's round six, but I think that's been pushed back
to seven
because of this early bye we all love.
Right.
Newcomb played a good game, but still didn't even turn up. So I think a lot did jump off last week.
I'm still on him. Newcomb did play a good game, but again, he had a quieter. Scored 20
one mark. At least he tackled. Seven tackles is better for him.
Yeah.
Who's their ruckman? Meek or?
That's big Meeky. Newcomb didn't have any tackles. He limped at three-quarter time. Something happened when the siren went, and he got up and he hobbled. He had a huge third quarter, Newcomb. I thought he played outstanding third quarter. And then he limped, and then he had his leg taped up, almost like one a dirty big corky or something.
Yeah, okay.
And the last quarter just slowed him, yeah.
So Meek v. Reeves.
Meek.
Well, when they paid they picked 20, I think they gave for him.
For Meeky?
To Freo, I reckon the trade was around a pick 20.
I reckon you're on the
equivalent. Gear. You reckon the goggles are back on.
Yeah, I reckon you're smoking something.
And they're like, well, why you've drafted this guy? But then Reeves is actually, despite being the president's son.
Well, the numbers of Reeves out of the centre,
not many people from beat
hit
him
out,
in the
hit out to clearance. Yeah. I think we almost had him one or two there for a while. You're a fool's head.
What have I done?
Future second.
Future second. The Hawks future the Hawks, second. That's going to be 21.
No. The Hawks traded O'Meara and their fourth round selection to the Dockers for Meek and second.
Yep.
I don't know who wins that argument.
Well, O'Meara's not doing much, is he? He's not, he might as well be that too. Sicily's going to be cheap. Well, Meek, who knows? I know it's a trading game. If he plays solo this week, he's got a low break even. Is it a Grundy down to him just for the 1 week hit, then jump to someone else a week after? But I think that's getting a little bit too. Particularly, we're going to move into upgrade
season. That was Lloyd. He's still saying Lloyd Meek.
Lloyd Meek.
That was his best game of AFL football.
But you've watched a lot back in the day when he used to call some waffle.
Yeah.
You've said a long time ago that he'd be a top eight ruckman in the AFL. I reckon I might have heard you.
No, would be a starter in every
12 other teams.
12 other teams or whatever it was. Yeah.
Massimo's been disappointing. Still, as I said, the reason why you go these players is because those eight top 20 price movers this year who are towards the top of their position in points as well. They're the knockout picks. You have to have a crack at them.
Spent 44 minutes on the bench.
Yeah, that last quarter spent a lot, which is never a good sign. So that's what I mean. I think the obvious move is a Howes down to Closey. And then you do whatever. But if you need that extra cash to get a Jordan to a Flanders, it might be a Massimo down to him and get the cash. But yeah, they look. He could be what Amon is in terms of kicking. Like, kicks the ball beautifully too. It's not like he was just getting cheap possessions early. He just
I thought he was much older than he is.
Is he 21?
20.
Connor McDonald. I know we're talking about not a fancy relevant today, but there's a period there where we all thought he was earmarked for a breakout. Seven possessions.
Yeah, he's playing a tough role.
Yeah, too tough, I reckon.
I think my brother thinks he could be the best of that young crop.
I know.
And I know other people rate him very highly, but that's a tough role.
So, yeah, this week, I've mentioned before, I can see it being the start of upgrade season, and it's where in the past I've – and then we're not talking we're getting in – a Green and a Sarong. In the past, I've managed to land like a two rookies and landed on the back end an Isaac Heaney when he was a mid-pricer who then broke out. The year after that, I got rid of Tim Kelly in this week who had a lot more best cash cow of the year. Jumped off him even had a lot more cash to gain because I was able to turn him into a Zach Merritt who I think got concussed in round two and bottom out in price. So when you talk about like a Roberts, it's not too early to jump off him if it means you can get to a gun. I wouldn't jump off him just to get to another mid-pricer, like if it's a Horn Francis or Saligo, who there's a chance Roberts could do just as much as anyway.
Mm.
But if you can land a Bontempelli with a Roberts, then I wouldn't be afraid to go. And I've found in the past by me making those little moves and jumping early and getting an upgrade here when lots of coaches aren't making upgrades, you're then one premium ahead and it keeps you on top. The difference being this year being two more weeks of best 18, that unless rookie on the field doesn't matter as much. We mentioned all throughout the first couple of weeks that it's because it's best 18, maybe it is a week to do that double downgrade, generate that cash or have that cash on hold to then be able to do some proper upgrades. If you can't get up to a decent premium, maybe it is a Closey and the other Gold Coast kid, Wilson. But as always, we'll talk about more in the trade insights and I'll rank all the trade targets. And then Friday we'll be doing a quick fire Q&A pod to cover some more questions. So send them through, questions@marrerasmagic.com.au. Yep. Finally, top six forwards, as I think they'll currently stand: Flanders, Heaney, Zorko, Baker, Jackson, Power. Still have Power being up around their top six mark, but a fair few knocking on the door. So thanks for your time, Zave.
Pleasure. Friday.
Good to be back. I'll see you on Friday.
We're back in the bunker now.
I think we're in. Now we'll start ticking along.
Yeah.
So thanks for all your support, and we'll chat to you all soon.